Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I never liked this story. Not from the time I was little when I heard it until now. I never liked the story of the guy with the talents because I was the one talent wonder. And I understood this from the time I was little, that I didn't have much to offer. There were people, now you have to remember that I was born at a time where women still had certain talents that were normative for women. And I thought if I lived in pioneer days, my children would have starved and been naked. Because all those wonderful talents of the hands, I had none of them. If I was in a home economics, I'd burn the meal. If I were in sewing class, the teacher just would look at me and sigh. When I was in ceramics class, they called my little bowl that I made Neanderthal. I understood the person with one talent. There were people, some young ladies were in my category, but then they had other talents. They could add and subtract, which I could not do. So I did not have financial talents. When my son would come home with math work and he would try to explain to me the theories, I'd say, "Stop cursing at me, boy. I don't like that kind of language." One talent. And every time I heard this sermon, it rankled me. Because they talked about our gifts and abilities and how we're to use them for the Lord. And I would sit there saying, "What gifts and what abilities? I don't have any." Well, then it evolved and they said, well, a talent was not a gift or ability, it was money. And I really resonated with that one talent man because he was only given one coin then. What do you do with one? I could see the guy who had two, at least if he lost one, he could trade it off and he might have a chance of making something. But if you only have one and you have no financial ability, why wouldn't you bury it? I also didn't like the weeping and gnashing of teeth. I thought, I'd do enough of that at night in my bed. Why do I have to be afraid then that one day God's going to make an accounting and look at me and say, out you go? Never liked it. But then I learned that a talent in this story was not a gift or ability. It wasn't even a small coin. A talent was a measure of weight in silver or gold, and one talent was worth 20 years of salary. Now, can you imagine in modern terms, if your boss said, I'm going away for a while, I'm giving you $1 million, and figure out what to do with it? Oh, that's different. I could take care of $1 million. So this story is about a very generous man who goes away and entrusts his servant with tens of thousands of dollars. Now the other servants, because they were probably financial whizzes, because they were good at money, he gave them more because he knew they had more ability. But he didn't leave the one talent wonder out. He said, look, I'm going to give you $1 million. You figure out what to do with it. Now, in that context, would any of us say, let's go bury it or put it under a mattress? Well, of course not. We'd at least put it in the bank for safekeeping. Makes a difference when you know the story. And so this man who decides that it's just not worth the trouble, I'm going to bury it and leave it alone, and I don't have to worry about it. And then the master one day comes back and wants an accounting, and the people who had the 5 million bucks, well, he made 5 million more. The guy who had 2 million bucks made 2 million more. And so then he's waiting for this one guy that he's entrusted all this money to and said, "What did you do with my million?" "I buried it." You can understand how unhappy the master was. So how do we interpret this in modern day terms? I've thought about it a lot. It's not about what I have been given. It's all the resources that God has that I am entrusted with. And think about the resources of God. We've been given this planet. We've been given so many abundant resources that everybody on the planet could be fed. We have been given intellect. We've been given financial capability. We've been given things with our hands to do so that everybody in this world can be blessed. We, the church, have been given forgiveness and grace so that when we see broken people, we can help mend them. We've been given joy. We've been given peace beyond all telling. And we've been given hope for the next life so that when people are lying in wait and wondering what's next, we can come in with the resources of heaven and say there's a God above who will take you in his arms. What are we doing with those resources? It's not about me and what I have or have not. It's about what God has and what we can tap into to bless the people of this age. And of course, God wants an accounting because he's entrusted this to us, to our generation. What will we do with the resources that we have been given and that we can dispense? I was at a wonderful workshop yesterday on community organizing, and the pastor told a story about a group in Chicago that he was part of. It was a group in the suburbs, and they had gotten together because they wanted to do something good for the community. Now, these were all religious types, you know, the religion, all the pastors and church leaders, and they got together and they formed a group. And at that time, it was 2008, and you remember what happened in 2008, the market crashed. And people were saying to them, we've got to have jobs, we need jobs, that if we had jobs, things would be better for us. And they said their first response would have been, but we're pastors. We don't have any jobs. We don't know where jobs are. But they decided that perhaps instead of looking at what they don't have, they'd look at the resources around them. And so they started to study the problem. And they found out that there were high schoolers who were not going to college, who were left behind, that had no work. And there was a training facility that could help them get the jobs that they needed. There were also factories screaming for workers, but couldn't find people who were adequate to the task. And then there was a school that refused to send these kids off to training. They were all college, all the things were for college, not for vocational training. And so this group started to work on this issue. And to make a long story short, they bypassed the school, they got the county involved, and they trained these young people in high school so that they went to the factories and had work. Now, it did not happen overnight. None of these pastors had those kinds of skills, but they knew that the resources of God were available, and they had to find a way to tap into them. What do we do with the resources? Sometimes things are right around us, and all we're looking at is our lack and what I might not be able to do. And we don't realize that we can connect with somebody who has that skill, and we can all benefit the kingdom of God. What would you do if somebody gave you $1 million? Of course you'd invest it. Of course you'd do good stuff with it. Well, we have $1 million faith. We have all the resources of heaven at our disposal. What will we do tomorrow with those resources? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you are a God of abundance, and what I might lack, someone else has. I ask that you help us this week, stir us up to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captive free, to visit the sick, to give hope to the dying, to bring sustenance to those who are struggling financially, in all the ways that your resources can speed healing. We consecrate ourselves to you and to your work. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen.